the new revolution in radio.
CyberStationUSA.com.
Americans are united in sending one message.
Goodwill to the people of this land.
I will do my best to represent my nation.
We have an election now. Really looks beautiful.
This is the evolution of radio.
We are more integrated now than at any other point in the history of the human race.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Coming up the score.
Jerry Napoleonello.
The Cowboys made two mistakes in the last 3 years. One was letting Dak take over for Romo and not having Romo come back in. And two was releasing Dez Bryant.
Superstition, screw that. Let's pick this bad boy up and walk it around the ice.
Kevin Donway.
The NFL, like every league, is a business. And in a business, you have a job. And let me tell you something. You always have a boss. No matter who you are, you have a boss when you're in the organization.
The New York Jets, you know what they need to do with their second round pick? They need to just start taking it and lighting it up on fire.
This is Running Up the Score, your one-stop spot for all things sports. Join in on the conversation by calling in at 605-562-7085. Now here's your hosts, Jerry Napoleonello and Kevin Donlan.
All right, it's time to run up the score. Running up the score with Jerry Napoleonello and Kevin Donlan. Call in at 605-562-7085. Press 5 to be heard live. Also, go to SeatGiant.com. Type in RUTS Sports to save on tickets as well. We're going to dive right into it. We've been going throughout the week. If you've been watching us on Sportscaster, we've been doing a podcast every other day. We've done one Tuesday and Thursday as well. Tuesday, we got into the Bryce Harper deal. That was kind of like
Mike
perfect.
Trout.
That's what it was.
Yeah, Mike Trout.
That was kind of like perfect timing. I mean, it was perfect because it was like, all right, you know, what are we going to talk about within, what was it, maybe 20 minutes? Boom. There's Mike Trout signing that big deal.
Well, there's always stories coming out.
Yeah, I mean
really,
we were just wondering what we were going to talk about. You know, we were expecting to do a 5 to 10 minute thing, and it turned into a 45 minute thing. But then, you know, obviously Thursday was the first day of the NCAA tournament, so that was fun. And we're down, we're through two days. The first round is done. We're on to the next round. Starts today. I think the first game starts at like 12:45, so we're excited about that. I guess we'll get right into just the second day of the first round. There's a bunch of upsets in this day. You know, we had the big one that I had, big one. I even bet them. UC Irvine.
Oh, Irvine, yeah.
Dude, I was pumped to see that because nobody in my bracket pool had UC Irvine getting through to the next round. So I was hyped that I did that. And then I bet them on top of it, so that kind of helped too.
You know, what's been really cool about this year's tournament is actually something I read last night. There are 6 different schools that found a way to get their first win in this tournament, which I believe to be incredible. You know, I think it just shows how competitive college basketball is, how competitive these kids are, and how competitive these coaches are. And we've seen it in all forms. It's just been really, really fun to watch. And when it came down to it, when it came with the Irvine, you know, they just found ways to execute. And, you know, when you're in this tournament and it's your first time playing in it, or second time playing in it, there's nerves, and there always will be. And it's, you know, it's a very pressurous tournament. You lose this game and you're out. There's no coming back. It's a huge tournament. You want to be the best team in the country, but you got to win each and every one of these games. And let me tell you, the competitiveness has been off the charts, especially this season. You know, we've had a lot of really close games. you know, a couple of games that weren't too close, but obviously, you know, there's different seedings here, and you know, these lower seeds were able to take care of business, and you got to respect that because, you know, I was watching a little bit of the Virginia game last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say. And there was a scare there in that first half. I think they were down as much as 14 in that first half. So it made you wonder because the kids from Virginia had just been knocked off by a number 16 seed last season. There's probably a decent amount of returning players, and there's definitely a returning coach of this team. So when it came down to it, that first half scare, it just shows that this could have still been in these kids' heads. This tournament and how pressurous it, you know, pressurous it is, you know?
You know, it wasn't even Virginia, though, too. The Duke was down in the first half, all the way up until probably the three-minute mark. North Carolina was down at halftime. So
it just shows, you know.
You know, and then you look at the scores of those games. You know, yeah. That lower seed, that 16 seed going up against the first, they're coming out the gate and they know they have to click on all cylinders. And that's the biggest thing when it comes to, you know, these 16 seeds. So a lot of the times they can't carry that throughout the whole game against, you know, one of those number one seeds. Ugh. So, you know, you have teams like Duke, you have teams like North Carolina. Yeah, they have to settle in. Once they settle in, I mean, there's really no stopping them, and that's what ended up happening. Duke ended up winning, you know, by like 30. North Carolina ended up winning by, you know, 25 or whatever it was. You know, and these teams were down like towards halftime, and even with North Carolina, they were down at halftime. So, you know, it's crazy to see. It was crazy to see that Virginia lost last year to a number 16 seed. But altogether, I think the first 2 days have been really fun. You know, we also have seen that the lower seeds this year aren't as good as they were in previous years.
You know, when it comes to, like, the seeding and the conference winners and trying to, you know, map this out into a huge tournament, it's very hard to rank these teams. And I think that's honestly what has happened in previous seasons, like we talked about with the lower ranks. I mean, with the higher rank, like the 14 seeds out there, some of them might be supposed to be a 10. They might be talented enough to be a 10 or a 7 or an 8 or a 9 seed. But they get given a 14. I mean, it's very difficult. It's very difficult.
Well, that's why you see more of the close games between the 8 and 9s, between the 6 and 11s, the 5 and 12s. You know, those teams.
Or the 12 versus 13, because that's what we're going to have with Irvine and Oregon, because
yeah,
they
exactly.
Both were able to win yesterday. So now, you know, you're looking at, and I actually did take Oregon to go to my Sweet 16.
Yeah, no, they killed me.
You know, I'm hoping that, you know, my bracket. You know, we had talked about it on Thursday briefly. It was looking pretty bad. But I had a pretty decent Friday. And on to the second round, you just got to have the games go your way.
The way I look at it, if you can get through the first round and possibly the second round without losing an Elite Eight or a Final Four team, your bracket's looking all right.
Yeah, and I've lost two of them.
Well,
I took Nevada to go to the Elite Eight, and I took... Who is the other one that
maybe
I
maybe it's not looking as good as you think.
No, but I mean, as long as, you know, as you're keeping, you know, because for the most part, the only two Elite Eight teams I'm missing are the only two Sweet 16 teams I'm missing. The rest of them are still alive. And
you know, I think, you know, as this year it's a little different because I think Duke is such a favorite that no matter what, I think you have to win the other rounds because if it comes down to the championship, I feel like so many people have picked Duke. You know, I picked North Carolina just because I wanted somebody different than Duke. And North Carolina beat Duke earlier in the season. Yes, I know Zion wasn't on the court at the time. But, you know, I just feel like I had to change it up. You know, there you have to have
that Duke hatred.
No, I like Duke. I like
Duke. Oh, you do? Because it didn't sound like you did.
No, I don't. I have nothing against Duke. I don't really have a dog in this fight, I guess. I don't I don't watch college basketball. I don't watch college sports saying, oh, I'm a big, you know, Michigan fan. I'm not, I don't like college sports like that. You know, I love March Madness. You know, just altogether, to me, I'm an NFL guy. You know, I guess you could call me an NBA guy. I'm a pro sport guy. I'm not a big college fan. You know, I watch it. I think it's, you know, I think it's exciting to watch. I think it's awesome to watch. But I don't, I feel like I can't pick a team that's going to change their team every year. It's going to have different players on the team every year. And like, that's...
Well, it just shows, you know, there's a whole lot to college sports, and, you know, it's the recruiting process, and, you know, we talk about all
but that's the other thing. It's like, all right, well, if your coach isn't a good recruiter, then it's like...
Well, if you just don't, you know, you got to come from a great program. It's not even just about the... I mean, a lot of people like to, you know, think it's about the coaching, but it has a lot to do with the program, how it's ran,
and
you
I
know,
didn't
the
go
school.
To a big school.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I didn't go to a big college.
Me neither,
so.
And, you know, I've talked about my views towards college on this show before. I mean, yeah. You know, when it just comes down to the actual school.
Yeah.
But these kids, you know, everyone talks about how they're not getting paid and everything else, and we've gone over it over and over and over again. And then now they're talking about today's game. It is tomorrow's game where Duke is going to have a Zion cam. Or, you know, just the television networks are going to have a Zion cam. So you're not paying this kid any money, but he's going to have a camera on him, nationally televised at all times, and he's not getting a cent for that. Folks, and where does that make sense?
It doesn't.
In an actual, just like, you know, if someone's going to put a camera on me, which I don't understand why anyone would want to do that, but I would expect to get some compensation for it. Clearly, they're putting the camera on me because that's what the people want to see.
Now,
and
side note, though, before you keep going, you know, talking about a camera being on you, have you ever seen on Instagram or Twitter the guy called a guy's name Bob Menery?
No.
He does just ridiculous play-by-plays of random sports videos. Great voice. And he curses while he's doing it.
Oh, you know what? I actually have heard of this man. I've seen a couple of them.
He just got two NCAA tournament commercials where he's play-by-playing a commercial.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
I think you should start doing videos for Instagram, you know, and just do play-by-plays of just random, you know, sports highlights. I mean, I think... The next time you hear Kevin Donlan, it's probably going to be on, you know, an NCAA tournament, you know, commercial for, you know, Capital One or whatever it is.
Capital One. How, you know,
that's
just came off your head.
No, that's I mean, Capital One is like the they're like the top sponsor for the NCAA tournament.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, watching it at work, you know, that's all you see is Capital One.
That's actually very true. Or, yeah, no, I've seen all the ads even on the March Madness ad, which I think is incredible that they have something like that. I mean, folks, if you want, I mean, I'm not even trying to, like, you know, I'm basically boosting this ad, but it's, you know, it's the March Madness ad. It's incredible.
It.
You're able to watch these games from your phone live, and it's just, it's amazing.
I was saying that access
is great.
I was saying to the guys at work, you know, I remember when, you know, they didn't have all the games on TV, and you actually had to, like, go on the computer and try to find a stream of some of the games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, they didn't have this app.
The tournament has gotten so much more popular as the seasons have gone across because of how exciting these games have been. I mean, there's been national championship games. You know, the actual championship game, one on a three-pointer. We all remember, what was that guy? Chalmers. You know, that three-pointer.
Well, yeah, Mario Chalmers. You
also remember that?
You know, with Villanova 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's just exciting. So, and it's gotten bigger in this country.
That's the thing. Like, that's why I love the NCAA tournament. You know, as I said, I'm not a big college fan, but the NCAA tournament is awesome. I mean, it's kind of like me with soccer. I don't like watching soccer, but I'll watch it during the World Cup. because I feel like there's somebody I can root for. You know, and I'm rooting for, obviously, USA. You know, so it's different in that fact, like, that you actually have somebody you're rooting for. When it comes to the NCAA tournament, I'm rooting for my bracket. I'm rooting for that team that, you know, I have picked. So, you know, that's where it comes into. That's where, you know, I feel like as a fan, as a sports fan, that adrenaline, that nervousness of, like, all right, am I going to win? Like, is this team going to win? Like, that's what I love about sports. I mean, when I'm watching the Cowboys, I mean, I'm biting my nails off. No, you know, of course. If I'm watching the Yankees when it comes down to the bottom of the ninth and they need one more run, I'm biting my nails off.
Absolutely.
So it comes down to
when you're
to
watching
that,
the Islanders and they're down 4-0, you're
and
still biting your nails off.
You smash your head through the wall. I mean, that's...
Oh,
that's,
boy. That score never changed.
It never did.
We turned it on as I
it
left,
was
actually.
It 1-0.
Well, no, as I was leaving, I think they had scored. Yeah. And then they didn't look back. And
well, that was a funny thing because we're like, oh, you know what, let's put the game on. Before I even could get the game on, they were already down 1-0.
I was like, let's go to college.
So
let's just
we're like,
college,
okay.
College basketball.
But hey, Jinx. So altogether, I think the NCAA tournament has been unbelievable. You know, as you were saying with Zion and this whole...
The camera situation. You know, it's just, you know, again, you know, listen...
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, not at all, man. I just, you know...
That came to my mind.
I'm pretty sure I got my point across with it. I mean, it was just the basis that, you know, you legitimately, like, have a camera on somebody at all times. You would think they'd be compensated for it, but then there's regulations. And this is why colleges, in my opinion, has just been... It's unbelievable how strict it is on the basis of that. I mean, it's absolutely obnoxious. And then these schools are all getting, you know, in trouble for... You know, trying to sneak around the little rules and regulations, and it's just their stories that I don't want to read. I mean, I don't care about this. I mean, you know, this is an easy fix. You know, sometimes there'll be articles out there that you look at, and I don't understand how, you know, they're going to get people to click it.
Yeah,
and, like, we talked about it, but it's just like, it's an article that, like, if I found myself reading, after I'm done with it, and I legitimately just... You know, I'm like, why did I read that? And that's what I'm seeing. Like an article like this with Zion Williamson, how he's going to have a camera on him, yet they don't pay him anything.
Yeah,
you know. And don't get me wrong, Zion Williamson's a different breed. I don't think we're ever going to see a player like that in college again because of the new rules with the NBA. And being able to go right to the NBA now, going to be starting up very soon. The 1 year of college is going to be away, and we're looking
soon.
At almost.
We're looking at.
It's very close. Him being the last star of college basketball, but again, it makes it competitive. I mean, you heard yourself. Like everybody took Duke because they have great players. And basketball, we talked about many times, is that sport where you need that one guy. We've watched it with LeBron James. You know, you could say you watched it with Michael Jordan, even though I think that was more of a team thing as well. But he was a great player as well, and a big reason why they won that many championships. Basketball is a different breed. This, you know, I've pleaded teamwork and you know,
said it last
when
week.
Is a team and all that kind of stuff. I've said it over and over. Basketball is probably the one sport where it's really not that imperative.
No,
you know, you got to play together as a team of five. No doubt.
It's the only sport other
where someone
than
else could take over.
Other than hockey, it's the only sport that you're on the court for offense and defense. I mean, hockey, it's different because you're on the ice for 35, 40 second intervals.
What scares me about Zion Williamson and having stars in college basketball is this. And anybody that's even a sports gambler or doing a bracket right now will see this, is that referees and calling the Duke game. Yeah. It's going to be a big game. Everyone's going to want to watch it. Everyone wanted to watch it even last night, and everyone knew that was going to be a blowout, even though you're right. It was a scare in the beginning, but at the same time, a blowout nonetheless.
I won that by half a point.
I can imagine. I saw that. I actually saw what that spread was, too, because people are in those pools where, like, you get them with the spread and you get the team.
See, I had them because it first started the game at plus 26.5. Then it went up to plus 27. I got it at the plus 27. I won it by half a point.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I'm just, you know, what I'm saying is that you foul out Zion Williamson, which you're not going to do because he's a star. And that's why everyone's watching the game. It's the same thing in the NBA with LeBron and even just the great all-stars of that. You know, even for the people that are attending the game because they're all paying money and all. It's just, it's all a concept of, you know, he's a star. So calls aren't going to be made against him. I've seen it in the NBA over and over. And if you continue to have stars like Zion Williamson's been this entire season, you're going to see the same thing in this tournament. And it could be judged.
I have seen
guys foul out that were like really good players and important players in the college tournament before.
Usually.
But it makes an impact. I've never really seen anyone as much as a star as Zion Williamson since, you know, well, LeBron went right to the NBA. But maybe Kevin Durant. But probably the last star is the way to put it.
With that, I think when it comes to Zion, I think the biggest thing comes into play is his size, because it's not to the point where, you know, this, you know, he, like, basically him being that size, he's not going to be knocked down by other guys. So it's harder to call him, you know, call fouls against him, you know, because he's so big. It's the same thing.
People are tuning in because they want to watch him. They want to see this kid play. It's understandable.
It's the same thing with LeBron James. He doesn't get many calls because he's so big. You know, and I think that's what you're going to see with Zion.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. That's the thing about the NBA. Now, if someone wants to stand in front of LeBron James and take a charge, all the power to you.
Absolutely.
It's gonna hurt, and that's what the game NBA has always been. In the NBA, like the NBA level, obviously the game is, you know, everyone wants to talk about the game getting soft, and that's been a whole debate that we could talk about another day. But when you used to go in the paint on Charles Barkley, he didn't foul you to get you to the free throw line to shoot two. He fouled you to make sure you knew.
You didn't do it again.
Not to go back into the paint again. But that's the game of basketball. It's always been like that. You know, it's the same thing with LeBron. I'm going to drive the ball. If you want to stand in front of me and take a charge, I don't care. We'll lose possession once, but that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Because he's a big dude. It's the same thing with Zion Williamson. But I've seen times where there was good charges against LeBron James, and they weren't called. So where's the incentive to play defense against this man?
Yeah.
Because you get in front of him, you just got wiped out. It was an offensive foul. Your feet were outside the circle, as well as not moving. And he went right into you. I saw him do it to Rondo a couple years ago, and they called a block.
Yeah.
And I remember I sat there, and I'm like, wow, Rondo just took a beating right there, and for nothing. All he got was a foul out of it. And it was absolutely a charge. I've been watching basketball for over 20 years. I know a charge from a block.
I mean,
and absolute charge. And they didn't call it. And, you know, it goes back to just saying, in college level, the stars being out of there and them going straight to the NBA. Like, we're just talking about the guys that are the size of Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
You know, they go right to the NBA, and then you'll see. We talk about how this tournament is so competitive. Imagine it's even more competitive now.
Well, kind of what we're going, like, even just, you know, talking about Charles Barkley and stuff like that.
I'm just saying.
Just the way that, you know, sports has changed, you know, generational.
Yeah, we've talked about this with all sports,
though. One thing that just actually recently happened that kind of begs, you know, it kind of brings up this is Tom Izzo. Now, when it comes to Tom Izzo, he's an old school, you know, coach, and he's a fiery coach. Like, he likes to get in your face. So people are making a big deal about him taking his, I think he's a freshman, right?
Yeah.
Taking his freshman and just basically ripping him to shreds right in front of everybody in the huddle as well. So I wanted to give our opinion on this, and I think we're on the same page when it comes to this. Nowadays, people are soft. It's scary. It's scary that it comes down to this. Where is the tough skin? Where is the, you know, when it comes to sports, okay, I mean, I'm used to basically coaches yelling at you if you did something wrong.
Of course.
Basically. I'm not saying that I'm a player that
got yelled at a lot.
learns from getting yelled at. You know, I never liked that. I never liked getting yelled at. That, you know, it kind of made me more nervous than anything. But there's some players that respond to that. And from what we've heard, you know, with this kid, is that he does respond to it. And, you know, Izzo and this player, you know, have a good relationship. And the problem there was, even when they got into the huddle, obviously you can't see the player. All you could see is Tom Izzo. The player is giving him back and forth. So now they're going back and forth, and that's why you see Tom Izzo get up in the huddle and kind of get in his face. And also the relationship between Izzo and his players, that the players actually could hold him back and put their hands on him, just shows you also how the relationship is between Izzo and his players. So altogether, my opinion is, people are getting soft. The people that thought this was a problem, you really have to, you know, maybe stop watching sports. Because, I mean, if you think this is bad, you don't know what happens behind closed doors. You know what's going on in those locker rooms of teams that are losing or that are playing terribly in the first half? You know, in any sport, football, mainly football, but football, you know, basketball, even, you know, in the dugout for you know, baseball. You don't see it as much in baseball, but when you do see it in baseball, it gets heated. So altogether, I just feel like everybody's just soft. Like, Izzo's one of the greats, and, you know, that's what he felt needed to happen, and that's what happened.
Well, what happens when I saw this video, and I just saw this, folks, right before we went on the air, because I didn't even get a chance to see this, and I watched. And what I get from this is a head coach who is one of the best, and he just said it, he is one of the best, the most respected. We talk about coaches and recruiting and everything else. He's one of the best. Now, that's why attitude is a big part of recruiting. When you're recruiting a player, his attitude towards just every aspect, like you said, you didn't like getting yelled at.
Yeah.
Neither did I. But I did not voice that opinion back at my coach.
I never went
and
back.
And that has been an issue where, you know, you see a lot of younger, you know, kids now, this generation, that feel like they have a right to answer back. When it comes to that, nobody is going to win. You want to argue with your coach, you're making your coach look like he doesn't have full control over this entire team. Now, we've seen coaches at the professional level get told they lost their team.
Yeah. We're going to talk about
it. It is very important for you to have control of your team. And when you have another player talking back to you the way I saw this player talking back to Tom Izzo, there's a reason he reacted like this. And then people start to wonder, you know, was he right for going after him? And now every single player, and I saw that huddle, every player, like he said, grabbed Izzo, sat him back down before he did something to this kid. Because I don't know what the kid's telling him, but it's probably nothing pleasant. It probably doesn't make Izzo look good right then and there. I don't know. I don't know the full story. The basis is that can't be happening on national TV. And I don't care who's starting it, if it's the coach or it's the player, both of you then, knock it off. There's a bigger task at hand. Michigan State was lucky to win a game like that when you have something going on like that during a game, especially after a 10-0 run.
That's what I was just about to say.
They went on a 10-0 run, and then this happened.
You must have did something pretty bad if Izzo is doing that after a 10-0 run.
And the basis is that, you know, maybe just, you know, talking, and it just, the things coming out of his mouth could be something that Izzo doesn't agree with. You know, it's one thing to win a game. It's another thing to be humble about it. Trash talking and stuff to some degree. But maybe sometimes it can go over the top. I've seen, you know, we talk about it. You know, the NBA will have stories after stories about this. And we're just like, you know, okay, yeah, we know it's there. We don't need to know exactly what is said. That's not the reason for it. Like, there's no reason to figure that out. They're two guys that are competitive, playing against each other. They both want to win. That will come out. But the basis is that right now, when it came to Tom Izzo, I don't think he's right for ever trying to go after a player. I don't know what was said to him. I don't know why anything has to be said to him. There's no reason to ever be back-talking your coach. I grew up playing every sport you can imagine.
You respected the coach.
I never spoke back to a coach. I might have not agreed with them, and I might have done, you know, I've even done some things where, you know, it wasn't talk back, but just the way I reacted to getting yelled at like that would not be approval of my coach. And it just shows that, okay, I'm not going to backtalk you. I have absolute respect for you. You are my coach. But if I don't agree with you, I'm going to keep this to myself. I'm going to continue to play the way that I need to play in order to best out for myself. I mean, this is my, you know, my talent. You know, this is, listen, you know, my game that I'm playing right now. And I know you're the coach. And again, it depends on the sport. I'm talking like me in particular, a story about just, you know, playing baseball one time and, you know, just basically having a great game one day and then getting benched the next game and I didn't approve of it. Now, I didn't tell the coach I didn't approve of it, and that's the problem now. You got kids now that will voice their displeasure with a coach, which is there's no room for it. For team morale, that will bring it right down, and you'll see you're not going to have any success when team morale is down in any sport at any level, going from elementary school all the way up to the pros.
You know, I feel like a lot has to do with the role models that they see on TV when it comes down to...
Well, I don't see any professional players, for the most part, talking back to their head coaches
back,
like that.
But I'm saying, like, say, you know...
And that's why they're there, folks. That's exactly why they're there, because they don't do things like that.
Kind of going off of your story. So now, say you have a good game. Next game, you get benched, okay? There's a lot of kids nowadays that just won't show up after finding out that they just got benched, or will throw a hissy fit and, you know, just quit the team.
But you learn from that. I did it
absolutely,
too, folks. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect over here. I'm just saying I learned from this.
Yeah.
And it made me a better player. It made me a better person.
Listen, my own story. You know, there's a lot of politics that comes into play when it comes to, you know, high school sports. You know, basically any sport, really. But you know, I played, you know, with our high school, we had two junior varsity teams, and then we had a varsity team, obviously.
The point is that you basically just, you know, you have respect for the coaches at all times.
What I'm saying is, you know, I started for the junior varsity teams that I played for.
Yeah.
I played for JVB and I played for JVA. I started.
All right.
I got to varsity and all of a sudden a kid didn't make a Catholic school team. So he spoke to the coach with us and he ended up starting over me. So varsity, I was basically on the bench for most of that time. So, you know, I could have quit. Other people probably would have quit.
The point is, you didn't voice your displeasure.
I never voiced my displeasure.
That's basically what it comes down to when we get back to Izzo. And the point is that, you know, if your coach is telling you something, and you know what? You know, you hear people like, oh, if my coach approaches me like that, I'm going to say something to him. Yeah, that's not the time to do it. If you want to say something to your coach because you don't agree with the way they're doing things, saying something in front of the entire team is never the way to go about it.
No.
You want to speak to him one up, which I've done. I mean, that's exactly what I did. If I had displeasure with a coach, I had spoke to them one up. There's no reason to talk in front of our teammates. This has nothing to do with them. And that's the problem. When this kid starts mouthing off to his coach in front of all of his teammates, it just shows a lack of respect for your head coach. And if you get a lack of respect from one player,
you can get it
the
rest
are going to follow. Unless you have to act the way Izzo had to act. And that means actually verbally threatening the kid.
It's the same thing, and we're going to get into it when we get back from the break, is, you know, like Le'Veon Bell, you know, Antonio Brown. This is the role models that I was talking about, is watching guys basically sit out a whole season just because they didn't get their way. And I know money is involved when it comes down to that, but Le'Veon Bell had an interview with Sports Illustrated that I wanted to basically talk about, so we'll get into that after we get back from the break. We got a lot of other stuff that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about our beloved Islanders.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, basically.
All right.
But we'll be back You're listening to Running Up the Score. Be sure to go to cgiant.com, type in RUTS Sports, save on tickets. We'll be back.
All Noise Radio, powered by the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. All Noise Radio is an internet radio station that's fully produced by graduates of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. From modern rock to old school hip hop, country to classical, news, talk, sports, and more. It's the noise you can't ignore. Log on to allnoiseradio.com. Fire up the station. Find out more about your favorite jocks. Get the latest CSB news and more. Plus, you can take All Noise Radio with you on the go for free. Just download the Live 365 app to your iPhone, iPod Touch, or BlackBerry and search All Noise Radio. Check out tomorrow's broadcasters today at allnoiseradio.com. Powered by the Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Hey, this is Jerry Napolianello, host of Running Up the Score. We are live once every week at 7 p.m. Eastern, where we hit on all the top headlines in the world of sports. You can also find us on Stitcher, iTunes, and those of you that like the visual aspect, check us out on YouTube. Running Up the Score. We run up the score on sports radio.
Cyberstation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyberstation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at Cameo at CyberstationUSA.com.
Win the right way.
This is Running Up the Score, your one-stop spot for all things sports. Join in on the conversation by calling in at 605-562-7085. Now here's your hosts, Jerry Napolianello and Kevin Donlan.
All right, it's time for Running Up the Score. We're back. And go to cgiant.com. Type in RUTS Sports to save on tickets. We got a lot to get into for the rest of this show. First off, I wanted to kind of get into Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell had a had an interview with Sports Illustrated. If you haven't watched it, I think you should go and watch it.
I haven't watched it, so I'm going to tune into Jerry right now and hear about it, because I this will be news to me as well.
I thought it was a good one, and you know, I kept seeing, you know, different clips, and I saw quotes and stuff like that. So I was like, you know what, I kind of want to, I want to watch it. I want to listen to it. So basically, what I did was, I tuned into it on my car ride. You know, I'm driving to Jersey, so you know, I got a little time. So it's a 25-minute interview. So I was like, you know what, I'll listen to it on my way to work. So I listened to it on my way to work, knowing that I wanted to talk about it on the show. So basically, what he said, you know, and everything that I'm going to say is paraphrasing. I didn't have time to put up some clips, otherwise I would. And I might do it for the YouTube video. So if you watch us, you know, watch our YouTube video, you know, I'll have something on there. So basically, he's just talking about his time with the Steelers. And there were certain times in the interview, he basically said that he was going to sign back with the Steelers. And he was going to come back after week one. So it started off, you know, he had a bunch of things going on in the offseason. Basically, he had an offer from the Steelers. First season, he'd get $14.5 million, all guaranteed. The second season wasn't guaranteed. So he wanted the full contract to be guaranteed, is what I'm saying. So so then he held out. Comes down to week one, he's not playing. His goal was to come back week two. Then it came out where players were coming out talking about him, coach was coming out and talking about him, other people were coming out and talking about him. So he said, you know, that he didn't feel right, he didn't like how he was being treated, so he sat out again. So now he sat out, and now he was kind of like in it, you know, and he figured, I'll come back after the bye week. That was his next goal. That didn't happen because of other stuff that happened with, you know, with the team as well. And then he said that he took 2 months off, no training, no nothing. There were reports that came out that he was weighing like 260, 265 or whatever it was. That was never true. He said that when he was wasn't training, the highest he got up to, I think, was like 240. But overall, he just said that he didn't like how he was treated with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He said that Ben Roethlisberger was up here and everybody else was down here. It was Ben Roethlisberger and the GM and then everybody down here. He basically said when he spoke to Adam Gase and when he spoke to, you know, the Jets organization, they all treated him as, you know, as he kept saying, on his level. You know, it wasn't like, oh, well, I'm over you. I'm going to talk to you like this and you're going to like it. You know, it wasn't like that. And he said when he was in Pittsburgh, that's how it was. And he never, you know, because he was drafted by them, he didn't know any other way. He didn't know that that was the way it was actually supposed to be, the way that the Jets treated him. So when he spoke to the Jets and they treated him like that, that's what he, you know, that's where he made his decision. So overall, you know, he just basically, a lot of this talk was that Mike Tomlin, at one point he said that Mike Tomlin, he went up to Mike Tomlin and said, you know, I like the play that the Rams just ran. I think we should put it in our playbook. And he said, quoting Mike Tomlin, shut up, LB, you just run the ball. So, you know, that's obviously hearsay, you know, nobody knows, but overall, I thought it was a good interview. If you haven't watched it, you should go watch it, especially if you're a Jets fan.
You know, I am a Jet fan, and I have not watched this interview. And based off what you just told me, you know, Le'Veon Bell needs to understand that the game of football, there's injury risk. So for a team to give you fully guaranteed money like that, it's just unfair of you to ask for. And this is, I'm going to go right down to it. You know, I'm a Jet fan. And I'm a big Le'Veon Bell fan now. I'm a huge Le'Veon Bell fan. He's on my boys' team. You know, he's part of the boys now. The way he went about it at Pittsburgh was not the right way. It never will be the right way. Whether he thinks it was the right way or not, it wasn't. It's unfair of you to exit a team to give you fully guaranteed money. There's a reason why teams don't do this. They do not want to pay a man $15 million because he hurt his knee week one. And Le'Veon Bell has proven that he gets hurt. And it's because you're human, bro. Like, that's all it is. You know, no one's saying that you're not a great player. You know, when it comes to the whole respect factor in the locker room with, you know, Tomlin or then Big Ben Roethlisberger and, you know, the GM and then everyone else being at a certain level. I mean, hey, if that's how it was, then that's understandable for why you wanted to leave Pittsburgh. But then when you sit out an entire training camp, and I've seen it with him because, you know, I play fantasy football and I've seen the numbers he puts up after he misses training camp because this was not the first time he had done it.
Well, he also said in the interview, he's like, I didn't want to play in training camp.
Yeah.
And like, he specifically came out and said, I didn't want to play in training camp.
The problem is it's not looking good. It's looking a little like on a lazy factor from him. You know, training camp's important. You need to get into that football shape. There's one thing to get into shape. There's another thing to get in that football shape. Oops, sorry. Sorry about that. I'm getting phone calls left and right. I'm just trying to like cancel phone calls left and right. What happens is, great. This emergency just lost my train. But Le'Veon Bell, where was I going with it?
Basically, that the lazy factor of him not wanting to play.
Yeah, and honestly, it's because, you know, not wanting to do training camp, and it's very important. It gets you into football shape. And, yeah, I was going into the whole getting into shape, not getting into shape factor. And being in shape and being in football shape is completely two different things. And any football player will tell you that. And they'll tell you how important it is for all members of this team, going all the way up to the kicker. So you want all your players there. I think the players on Pittsburgh had every right to voice their displeasure with Le'Veon Bell. And now if he wants to say that was the reason why he wasn't going to come back for the year, all the power to you, bro. You're not going to make any money this season at all because you want out that badly. And it's under, you know, I don't think anyone's wrong in that picture. You have every right to not want to play football if you don't want to play football this year for a certain team. If you feel you're not appreciating the locker room, things like that, like the stuff behind the scenes that I don't know about, that we're hearing about in this interview, then all the power to you. But wanting guaranteed money to be the main reason as to why you didn't sign a contract with this team, even though we all know they gave you more money than the New York Jets did.
They did. But it wasn't all guaranteed.
This is a game where people get hurt. So to guarantee money like that is very difficult for a team to pull the trigger on. And agents for all these football players are all asking for it because they know.
Well,
so my guy can go into this game, you know, go into this season, make it 15 mil per year. All of a sudden, Le'Veon Bell goes and plays the first half of his first year, gets hurt, major knee surgery. I don't know. I'm just making this up hypothetically. Then all of a sudden, you know, he's out for half the year, and then going into next offseason, he's still not 100%. This isn't the same player you signed for 15 mil per year. So when it comes down to it, having incentives in all major sport contracts is honestly just very ideal, you know, for both sides. It gives a player an incentive to get to a certain point with his skill, because it'll make him more money, and it's good for the organization because they're going to get the productivity out of the money they're spending. So when it comes down to it, yep.
Yeah, don't mind the dogs in the background. There's three dogs in the background.
I was waiting for you to react while I'm talking.
I'm getting so mad right now. You know, it's a very non-soundproof room, obviously. You know, and there's three dogs in the other room, and they're by themselves, and it's basically a recipe for disaster because we have workers on the house next door. So they're, you know, every movement, every door closed, these dogs have to bark, and they're continually barking. So I apologize for that. Just bypass that. Listen to our voices. Just listen to our voices. Don't worry about the barking. But, I agree with you. I think, but the thing is, he got the money. He got the money from the Jets. That's what it was. You know, so in his eyes, he did the right thing. You know, he wanted to
guarantee. He did the right thing for what he wanted to do. And it's absolutely understandable.
And I'm fine with that because I know how violent of a sport the NFL is and how quickly your career can go like that and it's gone. So I understand that. And you're constantly looking out for your future. I mean, I'm looking out for my future. Kevin's looking out for his future. So I don't blame him. You know, we're not going out and going, you know, toe-to-toe with a, 350-pound, defensive tackle. So we're kind of not in that position to say what he can and cannot do. We might not like the way that he went about it, which is totally fine. And I understand how the Steelers felt. I understand how Steelers fans felt. But I think there was an easier, a better way of going about it. He figured out, he basically set the tone for, running backs, basically.
No, I mean, he's made it known that he is a top three player in Oh my god, too funny. So he's made it known that he's a top three player, and he's always said that even when it came to fantasy that it was him and somebody else, whether it was him and Gurley, he brought this out and he made a good point. And he is a very talented player. He did go an entire football season without fumbling, which I still think is incredible. You don't see that too often now. But at the same time, he also, has shown that he deserved, to get paid. But there's a way to get paid in the NFL. Keep performing like that, and you'll continue to get paid. And the issue with him was, is what if I get hurt? And it's understandable to think that way. It's the game of football. It's violent. It's the NFL. But you cannot expect a team to be throwing out guaranteed money like that to you. I don't care how talented you are. I think the most talented players in this entire NFL should not be getting any kind of guaranteed play. Hey, man, make 100 catches. You get this.
Yeah.
Pass for 3,000 yards, and you'll get this. And it gives incentive for a player to play well, you know, and at the same time, who loses here? I'm, like, still confused by the whole act. The problem is that these players know how much of a risk it is. And playing the game of football professionally cannot be that pleasant, you know, especially with the tough practices and everything. Obviously, they got to be tough. Le'Veon Bell barely wants to do them. But when it all comes down to it, he wanted to get paid. He did not get paid the way he thought he should be getting paid. It blew up into this whole thing. The Pittsburgh Steelers were getting negatively represented by it. It looked horrible on the Pittsburgh Steelers' behalf. But at the same time, like I talked about on previous shows, I don't even think they're going to skip a beat without this guy and Antonio Brown. And you could fault, you know, and say it's Big Ben, Mike Tomlin, whatever, and doing what they've been doing works. It's been working. And it's not just Big Ben. It's not just Mike Tomlin. It's that offensive line that continues to build holes. It's that defense that has been great no matter what. Even when they lose players, other players step up. And for Mike Tomlin to be able to get that out of his players, all the power to you. And you know why? It's probably because he said, go out there and tackle, because that's what you do. That's what we pay you to do. Now, Le'Veon Bell might have been a little sensitive with the whole basis that, oh, he's told me to run the ball. Well, that's what they pay you for, man. They pay him to take care of that. You know, of what the play calling should be. And, you know, he'll be discussing with a lot of coaches that'll say, oh, hey, this worked. You know, we know you know. Trust me, the coaches know. Let the coaches coach. Let the players play. Yeah. Hey, man, you got to focus on something right now. Your goal right now is to continue to run. Now, if you were getting incentives to run the ball better, all of your focus would only be on running the football.
Yeah.
As opposed to, should we run this play? Should we run? No. That's not how this works, you know? And I think that's where a misunderstanding had occurred as well. And if he took it one way and the team took it another, maybe it's best that you go separate ways. But I can promise you, you know, me being a Jet fan, you know, I just want my players to be focused on the task at hand. Find a way to win a game. Know your role on the team. Take care of what you need to take care of. You know, and that's, it's not being strict. It's not being disrespectful. This is what you get paid to do. I'm your boss. And I've talked about this. It's on our opening about, you know, you have a boss and they're going to tell you what to do. It's that simple. That's what you get paid for, man. And, you know, it's not a basis of whether or not who's right, who's not. Nobody's right. You're not right, and neither are the coaches. Nobody's right here on the basis of the whole thing and how it all played out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, I don't think he went the right way, but listen, he got it done. He got his deal done. He's with the Jets now. It's turning over a new leaf. He's done with the Steelers. Antonio Brown's done with the Steelers. It's, you know, we'll see what you can do.
I'm telling you, the Steelers are still going to be a good team.
I don't know.
The division's still there. They have not shown me any reason as to why they're not going to still be great, because the guys that stepped in for the two of them were great as well.
I like James Conner. I like Juju Smith-Schuster. My beef is with Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger is, you know, really good anymore, to be honest with you. I think he's over it. I think, you know, he's getting old.
Any quarterback that gets protection in the NFL,
I don't care how old they get. But what I'm saying is his throws aren't even on point. It's just overall. But there's a lot of things that I'm hearing with Ben Roethlisberger. You know, obviously, you know, you had the whole thing. You know, you had the motorcycle accident that one time or whatever it was. He had that accident. Then he had the whole thing with the bathroom and the girl. Then, you know, you're hearing more and more where the teammates are coming out and saying that, you know, he thinks he's above everybody. And I could see that. I could 110% see that.
Yeah, but you've heard the players that are actually on his team saying, you keep hearing this from guys that are gone.
Exactly.
But the guys that are here are the ones that matter, and we don't think like that.
Exactly.
And that, and if you need to get those personalities out of the locker room, like I talked about, probably Tom Izzo needs to get that freshman out of his locker room, because again, when you have a,
I'm bigger than the game. I think
there's no such thing as being bigger than the game
in
any sport.
You're not.
It really isn't.
Unless you're Tom Brady.
Are you just trying to have that click? Or just let me rev into that? No, I'm not even going to bother. I'm gonna ignore that.
No, let's talk about the Islanders, because I'm about to rev.
I like that. That's a good idea.
I don't really like it, to be honest with you, but we got to talk about it. There's a chance that the Islanders don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, we had talked about this. I was talking about how it's just playoff time. Let's get to it. Yeah, I don't know.
It's getting scary.
It's legitimately been a week now of getting shut out and giving up 9 goals in the process.
Now we're talking
2 games. It doesn't matter what goaltender it was.
Injuries.
Clearly, this is an issue of what's going on in front of our goaltender. I've never been a fan of blaming a goaltender as to the reasons why you're giving up goals. Obviously, a team found a way to bypass your defense and score goals. Now, the New York Islanders were playing great defense. I watched all their games. And I'm being truthfully honest that the last 2 games I haven't been able to watch on the basis that we've been doing the show.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to watch the last 2 games. And I've seen that they've lost 9-0 combined in the last 2 games. So I can't really critique on what's going on right now on the basis that, you know, someone needs to light a fire under this team and let them know that, you know, there's no breaks.
I think Barry Trotz did that.
I heard. I saw his interview. And
yeah.
The problem is that if someone runs it.
It has to be said.
It goes back to a toughness factor. Now, we can go back to right where we started on this show with the coaching and the responding to how you get yelled at. You want to get angry at your coach for yelling at you. Do not talk back to him. Show your anger and show your toughness out on the court, the ice, the field.
Yeah.
That's where you show your angry and your toughness. All sports, you need toughness. You need to be a tough person. There's no soft in any of these 4 major sports.
You can't be.
You just can't. And honestly, right now, what Barry Trotz was showing was that someone's hitting one of our players. I expect 4 other players to go and get after that man right after that. And that's not what he was seeing. Now, you cannot get bullied on any kind of professional sports atmosphere. You can't get bullied. You can't get intimidated. Now, this is the great thing about college basketball, like we go back to as well, is on the basis that you watch kids get rattled. Because they're kids. It happens in sports.
18, 19.
It happens. There's no doubt. At the professional level, you see great things because these guys are able to control that and find a way to, you know, keep their composure and find a way to win. And that's what's so great about the professional level. Those players are, they're something else. You know, I'll give credit to every professional sports athlete out there on that basis. But it just shows that those men are tough individuals, mentally. That's mental toughness. It has nothing to do with what you look like on the outside. Mental. And it's half the battle in any sport. So when you talk about, you know, the responding nature of getting yelled at, it just shows that no matter what, you need to be tough. So when Barry Trotz makes a comment like that, these players, it tries to light a fire. Like, hey, man, if someone goes after one of our guys, especially since the New York Islanders have a couple of guys on their team that are not the biggest players, their speed, their stick work is great.
Twice.
Their puck handling out of this world. Barzell, Beauvillier,
very elusive team.
But there's a big guys on that team as well. And I think he was talking to those defensemen. Hey, if one of those guys get hit,
well,
when they come back down, I want to see this in return. And I don't think he was seeing it. Now, you see it from guys like Clutterbuck and
Matt Martin.
But that's 3 guys. That's 1 line.
That's our 4th line. But you know what it comes down to? It was Scott Mayfield getting hit twice. He got hit twice, and he got hit hard twice. Now, if you look at the video of those 2 hits, there's 1 player that is closest to those 2 hits that did not do a damn thing. And I even questioned why we
who
brought
was
him
it?
Back.
I'm like, who
Andrew Ladd. So, to me, you know, I feel like Andrew Ladd's not playing as well as we would have hoped since coming back from his injury. This is, you know, a thing that Lou Lamoriello said, you know what, it's like, we don't need to go make a move in, you know, with the trade deadline coming up, because getting Andrew Ladd is basically like getting a trade. It's not working out that way. It's actually gotten worse since the trade deadline, to be totally honest with you. I think we were clicking on all cylinders when we had Michael Del Cole, when we had guys like that, like just, you know, guys that are still fighting for a roster spot.
Well, see, the problem is with guys like Andrew Ladd, you can't get rid of him.
You can't, because, I mean, the amount
of money.
You
want these roster spots to open up.
Yeah.
I absolutely can agree with you 100% on that.
Because I can guarantee if that hit happened on that fourth line.
Oh, something would have happened. And that's
that guy would have been engulfed.
Now you're just showing yourself as being soft, Mr.
Yeah.
Ladd. And, you know, you don't, you know, I'm not calling you soft, you know, but I'm saying the ones that matter are calling you soft. The
Barry
ones that
Trotz.
You're on the ice with. And I'm not even just talking about teammates. I'm talking about the other team as well.
Well,
other teams see things like that. I'm like, oh, all right.
Well, that's the
we
thing.
Know now.
You know, we can make a run at a guy because we know we're not going to get hit. That's the thing. I mean, if you actually listen to interviews with old-time players, especially going against teams that had that kind of bruiser, that had that
yep.
that guy that would come out and just drill you because of something
well,
that you did.
Well, that was his role. Everybody's got a role in this team.
Yeah,
that's his role.
You know, it's that enforcer role. So you can hear other guys say, listen, we would make a run at a guy, but we're afraid that we're going
to
get hit.
But the issue, you know, even so, like, every player has to have a toughness. Now, I know having the role and all that, you need to have toughness in this game of hockey.
It's all about toughness.
I mean,
especially
come on.
In hockey. Especially in football.
Yeah.
Those are sports that
even
you
basketball
need
and
even
baseball.
Basketball,
you
yes.
need to really have this mental toughness no matter what. And
I mean, you need mental toughness in every single sport. I'm saying, like,
yeah.
physical toughness you definitely have to have in hockey. And
well, it starts up here and ends physically,
yeah.
you know, in hockey,
I mean,
obviously, you know,
I,
we know.
And I always say it, I love this dude, you know, and it's a perfect example. Casey Cizikas.
Yep.
Casey Cizikas is not the biggest guy on the ice.
Nope.
But I can tell you he's the fastest on the ice when he's there. He's the toughest when he's out there. I mean, that guy, no matter how big he is, he'll run at anybody. Doesn't matter what size you are. And you know, another guy, Matt Martin. I mean, I'm telling you right now, Zdeno Chara is not the easiest guy to fight.
No.
And Matt Martin went up at him. And,
but he had no choice in that game.
He had no choice. He couldn't even reach Chara's face to punch him. He was just eating punches from Zdeno Chara just because of how much of a reach that Chara has. So, you know, guys like that, that's what we love about the Islanders.
See, that's the thing, too. Like,
but it's all on one line.
Of course. And if I'm Matt Martin and we're playing Boston in the playoffs, go right back after Chara.
Absolutely.
Because I don't, you know, hey, listen, just survive it. I don't need you to win that fight. I just need Chara off the ice for 5 minutes.
Another guy
that's what we want.
Yeah. Another guy that was kind of like that, you know, and he has a famous fight in the playoffs against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Kyle Okposo, he was that same guy. He was a guy that, you know, if anybody made a run at you know, and a lot of the times he was on the ice with John Tavares. If anybody made a run at Tavares, Okposo was the first one there.
Well, that's why he got paid. And
that's
what get you paid in the NHL, folks.
Absolutely, and that's the thing, like, you know, you need a guy like that that's on the ice.
You need all the guys like that,
yeah,
with that kind of mindset.
But I'm saying, like,
that, hey, you know, if someone hits one of my teammates, I got his back.
Absolutely. So, you know, the fact that the Islanders really only have that on the fourth line is disturbing.
I don't think it's like that at all. I think this is just a little bump in the road. I think the way they've been playing team all year long. They've
Washington,
been a tough team to play. We push a lot of people around.
Washington lost yesterday.
Good.
So that's huge.
Pittsburgh won, though. That's the other day.
Yeah.
They're the ones we're worried about right now.
Well, now we're tied for second, yeah.
Yeah, not
but
good. We want that
problem,
home ice, man.
The problem is, right now,
at least
we're
get
playing
home ice.
Philly again. And we've struggled a little bit against
Philly.
Well,
this is going to be a real test.
Philly. This is this is playoff hockey for the Islanders.
Yep,
now.
Absolutely, because every game matters.
This is it. You know, we got, I think, what, 7 games left? This is it.
Mm-hmm.
They need to step up.
Yep. You can't be playing this kind of hockey this late in the season because you don't want to go into the teams that do good are the teams that are hot going in, and the New York Islanders aren't.
At this point, I'm hoping that it comes down to the last game against Washington. At this point. You know, if it's going to come down to it.
I'm just sick and tired of every NHL season, our playoff hopes coming down to the last game of the season. It's just not fun. It happens. As an Islander fan, it happens all the time. Yeah. I wish I could be a fan of someone of like the Tampa Bay Lightning's caliber where they make the playoffs by March, which is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, so. They clinched it by early March. Amazing.
That will do it. Again, Tuesday and Thursday. Remember to check it out. Follow us on
right here.
Twitter and Instagram, and you'll find out when we go live, you know, when we'll be ready, this and that. So definitely follow us on that. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe to us on iTunes as well. All our stuff goes on to iTunes. All our stuff goes on to, you know, YouTube. Also, there's a website called Mixcloud. You can check us out on that. You know, and go to SeatGiant.com, type in RUTS Sports. The promo code baseball is still available. You use that, you could save on tickets for baseball games coming up. Opening day is in like 5 days, so, you know, it's big time. Baseball's back. Basketball's going into the playoffs. NHL is going into the playoffs. We got March Madness going on right now.
It's a good time.
It's absolutely a good time. So that will do it for today's show. Yeah. I'm Jerry.
I'm Kevin. I'm all over this.
Beat. Breezy.
Beat Breezy.
And it is all over!
You've been listening to Running Up the Score. We run up the score on Sports Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. A shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.